Hello and welcome to William Hill's Darts Podcast. We're going to be looking ahead to the quarterfinals of the World Match Play Tournament today. My name is Alex Dunn and I'm joined on the line by Sky Sports commentator John Gwynn. Morning, John.
Good morning, Alex. Good to talk to you.
How's things, John?
Very well, thanks. Yes, a couple of days off, not working on Wednesday night and Thursday night, but back again Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then, as everybody knows, I'm sure, I ride off into the sunset and no longer a Sky Sports commentator.
Indeed.
Not on the darts, anyway.
No, that will be a shame. But before then, we've got some great entertainment to look forward to, haven't we?
Oh, it's brilliant. I love this competition. I love them all, to be honest. But this one, with it being in high summer and it has all the wonderful, wonderful ups and downs, the ins and outs and... More it seems than any other tournament. It may not actually be the case, but I think it seems to be. It's a great buzzing atmosphere, fantastic venue. When you see those long shots of the Empress Ballroom from on high, you just have to marvel at the wonderful neo-Gothic sort of construction that that they managed to, well, build in the late Victorian era.
Absolutely. It is a fantastic theatre to watch an occasion such as this this championship. It really is. So far, the games have been thoroughly entertaining, haven't they?
Oh, yes, there have been some terrific games. There have been one or two disappointing ones, but if you get a tournament without that, then, there's something wrong. There have been some terrific games. There have been fewer matches this season that have gone beyond the regulation score. None in the first round. Every first round game was finished to the score 10. There were no need to go into the tie break. We had one in the second round, of course, and that was the Phil Taylor Terry Jenkins encounter. But I think there'll be one or two before the tournament's finished.
Okay, then we'll run through the outright betting for the championship and just see what you're thinking price wise for those. We've got Phil Taylor at 11-8. Michael van Gerwen at 6-4, Adrian Lewis at 8s, 9-1 for James Wade, 14 Simon Whitlock, 18-1 Andy Hamilton, 28-1 for Dave Chisnell, and 50-1 for Justin Pipe. What appeals to you there?
Well, to be honest, you've got it dead right. Taylor van Gerwen, roughly joint favourites. Taylor marginally ahead. I think that's probably... about right, but some would argue that Michael van Gerwen, in a sense, has got the easiest half of the draw and therefore is more certain to reach the final. I'm not suggesting that easy games, but potentially easier than those which Taylor has. But outside of the top two, I can only see James Wade or Andy Hamilton making an impact on the evidence of what I've seen so far. Although I do have reservations. Dave Chisnell, I thought, showed more of his true form in his defeat of Jamie Cavan in a very nervous, tight situation at one stage. So one not quite sure what's coming from him, but as we're going to discuss in a minute or two, he comes up against the mighty Michael van Gerwen, and with all due respect to Jamie Cavan, van Gerwen is a different kettle of fish, or whatever that is in Dutch.
No, indeed, he is a cut above, you could say. But we'll just...
Is that what it is in Dutch?
Could be. I'll be honest with you, John, I'm not a master of Dutch. But,
no, me neither.
No, we'll have to get someone in who is. We were talking off air just about the fact that the format changes, if you like it. They become longer games. We're now playing best of 31 legs. What effect do you think that has on the players?
Well, I think the fitter players will prevail. I think that's been the case already anyway. I think there are some players who, quite frankly, just need to get down to work and lose some weight, because it's on occasions like the World Match Play, which is always, because it's in high summer, whether it's raining outside or not, it's warmer in the summer than it is in the winter. Everybody knows that. And when the weather is oppressively hot, as it has been and to a certain extent still is, then it only exacerbates things on the stage. And therefore, players like Van Barneveld, Adrian Lewis, and I could go on, Mervyn King, I think, are players who need to shed a stone or two in order to be able to cope with that situation. Phil Taylor has, Justin Pipe has, and I could go on, Kevin Painter looks after himself in that sense, and they are all players who seem to be able to cope with conditions. And I think that's a lesson to be learned.
Okay, so do you think, in terms of, is it more of a mental or a physical thing? You're saying more physical.
Well, I think it is physical, but of course it becomes mental, because in the game, when you're not playing well and you're not feeling well and you're sweating, you feel as though your shirt is sticking to your body, especially your right arm, it becomes very, very difficult, because when things start going wrong on the hockey, you start to look for reasons for it. And look for excuses, and often there are genuine excuses. I think the fitter you are on that stage, particularly in the world match play, the better. And Rod Harrington proved that in his day. He won it 2 years running by being slim, toned down, and athletic. And therein lies the key for me.
Certainly an advantage to be in good shape. You previewed the previous round with Dave Kellner a few days back, and you came up with a little gem, didn't you, tipping Justin Pipe to oust Raymond van Barneveld?
Yes, and without going over the same ground for the detail, for the reasons I've just outlined or detailed, and I felt that 5-2, Justin Pipe throwing really, really well. Barney had already alluded to the fact that he was uncomfortable in his first round defeat of Mencia Suljovic, and I felt that Barney was already looking for a reason or an excuse for not throwing well. And I just felt that Justin Pipe, the way he's been throwing, had the measure of him, and it proved correct. And I did say 5-2 is the bet of the second round.
Indeed you did. We will now try and find some bets of the quarterfinal stage.
Yes, indeed. Let's hope we can.
Fingers crossed. We kick off on Thursday evening. We've got Phil Taylor and Justin Pipe coming up at around 7 o'clock. The prices for the game, we've got Phil Taylor in at 1-9, Justin Pipe at 11-2. The handicap, we've got Phil Taylor minus 6.5 at 8-11, Justin Pipe plus 6.5 at evens. How do you think this one's going to go, John?
Well, I think it's going to go closer than the odds suggest. Phil Taylor is obviously a man who knows that he came through by the skin of his teeth against Terry Jenkins. But in fairness to Taylor, he withheld that challenge that came from Jenkins. I mean, Taylor led 7-3 and in the end won 14-12. It was a magnificent effort by the Bull. And at one stage, I honestly thought he was going to win. But Taylor withstood that, and that has to be to his credit, whether he's the 16-time world champion, the 13-time world match play champion, or not. You have to give credit where it's due. And Taylor looks after himself. He shed a stone and a half, and he's up against a man who is probably the fittest in the darting circuit. Despite his 40-odd years, he goes running every other morning. He says, I have one day off and one day on. And he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke. What a life he lives, eh? But in all seriousness, he is a thorough professional, and he will put on a thoroughly professional performance against Phil Taylor. So whilst I feel that Phil Taylor has enough to beat Justin Pipe in this quarterfinal, I don't think it's going to be close, and the even money for Justin Pipe on the handicap might well be worth taking. I'm taking Taylor to win this 16 legs to 11, 16 legs to 12.
Okay, 16-11 available at 10-1, 16-12 at 12-1. You mentioned that you fancy Justin Pipe on the handicap. That is plus 6.5 at evens. That appeals to you then, John?
Yes, it does. It does. I think Justin Pipe will give Taylor a really good run for his money.
Okay, then. We will crack on to the second game. Second game coming up on Thursday evening is Simon Whitlock against James Wade. The prices are as follows. Whitlock at 11-8, Wade at 4-7.
Yeah, this is a difficult one for the players because they come from the same stable, but more important than that, they are good friends. And despite what they say, it is difficult when you're up there to really give a good friend a right good hiding. Mind you, they're both very, very determined, obviously, to win this event. And rest assured, there'll be no favours asked for and none given. I think Wade has been supremely impressive. He was tremendous against Gary Anderson, who played well for half the game, and then Wade just took it away from him with some splendid darts. I was also impressed with the way that Wade dug deep against John Part in the first round. Now, Whitlock had to dig fairly deep against Jelle Klassen, who came back at him. But he withstood that particular challenge and then overcame Kevin Painter in the second round. So both players have good reason to be confident. It's going to be a close encounter again. I'm going to take Wade to win it. It might possibly go into added time, of course, if it does go to 15 apiece, then it's the got to win by two clear legs rule up to 17 apiece and then a sudden death playoff. Might even come to that, but I'll take Wade nonetheless to win it within regular time, and I would say 16 legs to 14.
Okay.
16 legs to 13.
Okay.
Those two particular scores.
Okay, 16-14 and 16-13 to James Wade, both available at the 10-1 mark. And if, as you mentioned there, you do think it's going to go into the 17s, etc., any other score available at 12-1. Okay then, that is the action on Thursday night, the two quarterfinals there. We're now going to look ahead to Friday night's darts. We kick off with Andy Hamilton against Adrian Lewis on Friday evening. Two players arriving in on this game very, very much in form.
Yeah, well, Hamilton in particular, because I think he's had an excellent world match play so far. He's shown real quality in beating Ronnie Baxter 10-1, particularly the business end of his game. I mean, he scored well, but he locked Baxter out altogether. Any chance Baxter had to have a go at an outshot of any nature, whether it be something like 74 or 105, 125, he never got to the hockey to try it because Hamilton was just so meticulous on the doubles. 10-1 might flatter Hamilton a little bit, but not a lot. He certainly put Ronnie Baxter in his place. And then he was too good for his friend Ian White in the second round, 13-7, very, very efficient, very effective, and into the quarters. Now, Adrian Lewis has had two wins against two good players. He's beaten Ronnie Huybrecht from Belgium, and he's beaten Brendan Dolan from Ireland. But frankly, if he had been playing anybody else on form, he would not have got through. Both his performances have been, let's say, below average, and yet he's prevailed. And I think that Andy Hamilton is going to give him a real, real hard game. And I'm not sure that Lewis, on that Blackpool stage, I'm not going to go on and on and on about personal health, personal welfare, but it is hot up there, it is difficult, and I think Andy Hamilton is best equipped to deal with the conditions. And therefore, I'm taking Hamilton to win this by 16 legs to 11, 16 legs to 12.
Okay, Andy Hamilton will go off the outsider of the two. He's available at around the 11-8 mark. And you're saying 16-11, 16-12, the most likely score there, John?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, then, the final game that we're going to look at, the final quarterfinal on Friday evening, is Michael Van Gerwen against Dave Chisnell. This should be pretty straightforward for Van Gerwen, shouldn't it?
Well, on paper, yes. One looks at Van Gerwen's form at the moment, and for the past 12 months it's been incredible, both on the telly and on the floor, away from the television screens, the Pro Tour events. And Dave Chisnall has had one of the most miserable periods of his short career. We know him from his BDO days as a BDO World Championship finalist, took Martin Adams the distance in that back in 2011, I think it was, and moved to the PDC, made an impact, but in the last few months, certainly, his form has dipped, and that's why I was encouraged to a certain extent last night by his performance against Jamie Cavan and the way that he dug in and came back against a very, very good Jamie Cavan. So Michael Van Gerwen's not going to have it all his own way, but I think he does have the measure of Dave Chisnall, and I'm going to take Van Gerwen to win this 16-10 and 16-11.
Okay, 16-10 and 16-11, the picks there. The outright betting there, we're going to be going roughly Van Gerwen about the 1-6 mark and Chisnall 9-2. Heavy favourite there, Van Gerwen. But they are the quarterfinal games. Thank you very much for your time, John. We will catch up with you on Saturday ahead of the semi-finals.
Thank you very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.